I wouldn't have left my house.
I would never. Yeah, I mean, I think you guys had a layover in Anchorage or something.
Medical emergency.
Like 2 weeks prior, he got shingles in his eye. They thought maybe it was going to get better. Well,
welcome to another episode of Message from Mom, where we are busting the myth that mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law don't necessarily get along. So I am joined today by my lovely co-host, my daughter-in-law, Kelly, to the left of me.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm married to Beth's oldest, Alex, and we've been married for going on 5 years now.
And my other lovely daughter-in-law, Chelsea, to the right of me.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I am married to Beth's middle son, Andrew, and we are newlyweds. We got married this past New Year's Eve.
I know, and I've been teasing you lately that things are going well.
They're going very well.
you're in that honeymoon stage.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So and I also like to say too, and so we're gonna raise our glasses to a toast, because you don't necessarily have to be blood relatives to love your relatives. So cheers, ladies, cheers to another episode. And today we're gonna talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is travel, because travel has been such a big part of my life, and it has been since I studied abroad years and years ago. I was a young teen, and I went to Barcelona, Spain. It was my first time out of the country. I had traveled with my family. We went on vacations in the U.S., but it was my first time out of the States, and my whole mindset changed with that one trip. And being married to my late husband, Mac, who was, I mean, he was Persian by his heritage, born in Iran, but raised in Vienna, Austria, then came over here to school. So he was, I mean, I think the man lived on all the continents. If I'm not mistaken, he did. So travel was very, very big in our lives, and we tried to pass that on to our children. So we're going to talk about all things travel today. So I'm just going to open it up. And Chelsea, what has been your favorite travel destination so far?
So far, I'm not quite as traveled as Beth, but we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I would say probably Iceland. Me and Andrew went to Iceland, I think it was last year, mm-hmm. maybe last February.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty cool trip.
Yeah. What was your favorite part? What'd you love about it?
I mean, honestly, so we ended up renting a car when we got there, and it was freezing. The wind mm-hmm. was insane, which I was not. We walked outside from the airport, and I mean, I think I had leggings on,
yeah.
which don't recommend. If you're going to Iceland in February, make sure that you dress appropriately. All my appropriate clothes were in my suitcase. Mm-hmm. And you have to like walk out from the airport, and you know, they take you, shuttle you off to the rent-a-car place.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part was honestly doing the car, like getting the car by ourselves and just traveling honestly all through the countryside. I think our hotel was about 3 hours away from the airport.
Oh.
And we had to go all the way around certain roads because some of the roads were closed
mm-hmm.
because it was wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to visit some, you know, destinations and like sightsee some spots before we got to our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we just drove around.
Wow. It's a very, I hear it's a very, very good destination, especially like for, I'm single. I hear it's a very safe destination,
yeah.
So also very safe for single people, but it's also very exotic too. So,
yeah, I mean, I would have felt completely safe, I guess, had I traveled there by myself. I don't think the only thing that maybe if I was going to travel there by myself, I'd probably pick the summertime.
Would you?
Only because the weather was a little iffy and I'm not super familiar or comfortable driving a car in the ice, snow, and wind.
Right. Right.
Which Andrew, obviously, growing up a little bit more in Minnesota, was used to that. But that was completely new to me. When we got off the plane and I walked outside, I had never seen so much snow in my entire life.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well,
it was cool.
I don't know if it outpaces Minnesota, but yes, Andrew would definitely be
yeah
very accustomed to snow because, wow, Minnesota can give you that, 12 inch, that 12 inch or all in one fell swoop. Okay. So Kelly, what favorite destination, travel destination?
So far. I think Italy.
Italy.
Actually. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, I feel like I could go back indefinitely. Mm-hmm. There's just so much to see, so many regions that are different from one another, and the food. Mm-hmm. I just really love Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a close, I mean, going to Paris with you was a mm-hmm. another, you know, so I there's a lot of France is kind of the same as Italy for me. There's just mm-hmm. so many different areas mm-hmm. to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Italy probably.
Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful, beautiful country. And Mac used to tease me that he was afraid to take me to Italy because he thought that I would never come home.
Yeah.
Because he knew me and my personality. And actually, when we finally made it over there, I'm like, you were spot on, because yeah. I could totally see myself living there. I really, really could. But I love Europe. So one of my favorite destinations, honestly, and that's what I opened up the podcast with, and that's Barcelona, Spain. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful country Spain is, and just a beautiful culture, great food. The weather is also very moderate. All the things that I really, really love. So I don't know if it's my absolute favorite, but it's certainly up there, because now I was just recently there on a Mediterranean cruise, and AJ came along with me, mm-hmm. and we had both studied over there, and actually Andrew did too. Mm-hmm. But being back over there, I was like, I think I could actually have an apartment over here. I think I could actually live here part-time. So that really does say something about a travel destination. Honestly, I mean, it could be Italy too. Paris, I could get an apartment in Paris too. So honestly, anywhere in Europe. But I will just say this. So when AJ graduated from high school, we took a trip over to Europe, and one of the most beautiful places, it's still very much in my mind, is Prague.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a magical city. I mean, I truly felt transported back to like the 15th century. There was just something very, very magical about that city. We didn't spend that much time there, but Prague was definitely there. But yeah. I think I'm a Europe girl, even though I lived in Asia for a long, long time, but Europe really does have my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's so cool about Europe though, too, especially I haven't been to very many places in Europe,
mm-hmm.
But the fact that you can get around so easily and see so many different countries,
yes.
You know, whether it's going, you know, short flights or via the train or mm-hmm. driving. I mean, it's so, mm-hmm. there's so much easier. Opportunity. Yeah. To see a lot.
There is.
Period of time.
There is. And I love the fact that in Europe, they make it very easy. They're very walkable cities, as well as public transportation is very mm-hmm. readily available. And so it's a great place to just kind of drop yourself off, and you can head off into so many different directions. And
right.
And I truly do feel, I mean, I feel safe in Barcelona. I feel safe in most places in Italy, and also
Paris,
yeah. For sure.
Yeah,
definitely. And especially there again, you know, bring it back to a solo traveler. I would feel very, very comfortable traveling in Paris all by myself.
Do you have a favorite place in the U.S. that you like to travel to? Or
Well, I do.
I already know the answer to this one.
Yeah, right? It's right in my backyard. I don't even have to go very far. So, and I go there twice a year because it's a great place for photo shoots, but it's also a great place, again, being single, I can go off there all on my own, feel very safe and protected. So that is the Ritz-Carlton's Lake Oconee. And it is just a beautiful setting.
That's actually not where I thought you were going to say.
Oh.
You thought Tybee.
I thought Tybee.
You think Tybee? Well, I guess
a close second.
I guess I just don't think of that as a destination anymore. I mean, I guess I just think of that as home.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. But yeah, but you're absolutely right. I love Tybee. And why I love Tybee so much is because guess what? Savannah is right mm-hmm. in the back pocket of Tybee, or Tybee's in the back pocket of Savannah. And truly, Savannah is one of my most favorite places in the whole world mm-hmm. to go to. because it reminds me of Europe, I think, yeah, is why.
I love Savannah.
It's just so beautiful.
History and all.
Oh, I love it. The ghost tours and the beautiful restaurants that they have. I mean, they really have a great food scene. They really, really do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the shopping's not bad.
Shopping is good.
So
shopping's mm-hmm. good.
Yes. So when I
no complaints.
When I do go to Tybee, I always make sure I go into Savannah.
Yeah.
So but yeah.
Yeah, I would say that mine is probably either Savannah or I do really love my grandparents have a house in Beach Mountain, mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love going up there to visit. They live on the mountain, like really close to the ski resort, and the view from their
mm-hmm.
deck is just amazing.
Spectacular. That's what I've heard about North Carolina.
Yeah.
That it truly has, especially their mountain.
And the season, mm-hmm. they have, I mean, in the winter, they get snow and uh-huh. they experience fall. And
yeah.
Color change.
Their summers are pretty mild, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as...
And aren't they drier? They're not as humid as we are, right? And here in Georgia. I'm talking about Georgia because we're flipping humid.
It's
97% humidity and then 97% temperature.
Oh, do you have a favorite place?
I do. You know, I actually... I lived in Alaska for a long time, and I haven't been back there since I moved away the last time, which was in 2009. I would really like to go back and visit.
I think on like a bucket list item for me.
And I know Alex really wants to go there too. He's never, I mean, I think that you guys had a layover in Anchorage or something, but didn't actually get off.
An unexpected one because it was a detour. It was a medical emergency. And God bless that person that needed to get off there. But the rest of us were like, why? I mean, because it extended our, because we were coming back from Asia, which is a long flight to begin with. So I think it added like 10 more hours on our trip. And we're like,
a lot.
Okay, we're glad that that person's healthy, but boy, why is it our flight?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how you are.
Yeah. But, you know, I think going back there and visiting as a tourist and not having to live there, mm-hmm. I think would be a different experience. Plus, I have since I did live there, I, you know all the good spots to go and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it would be fun to take Alex there and show him.
So would you go on an Alaskan cruise? Because I hear those are pretty amazing.
I've heard that. Yeah. And I've put together a couple itineraries for friends of mine who were going to Alaska. And I always recommend that you either cruise up or cruise back, but only do it one way. If you want to experience the cruise situation, just mm-hmm. do it one way.
Okay. Because
you can go all the way to Seward, mm-hmm. Alaska, and then you can actually take the train, which is really cool, from Seward to Anchorage, because it's got, you know, the train has the... It's not open top, but it's a glass top. Mm-hmm. So you can really see, you know, all the mountains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the train to Anchorage and then rent a car for yourself. And then you can take the train all the way up to Denali. And
okay.
There's a lot of options.
I like that tip. I really, really do.
That's one of the questions I also had was, yeah. Are you a cruise person or a destination person? Mm-hmm. I feel like I know the answer to this, but... Or do you think kind of a mix of both? Because you just went on that one Mediterranean cruise and really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I still have mixed emotions about cruises. I really, really do. So I have one foot in, one foot out, because if you want an easy way to travel, cruises are definitely the way to go. They just really are, because you bring your luggage on, you unpack, you don't have to worry about packing your bags again and going on to the next destination, because they do all the heavy lifting for you. However, there is part of me that I don't like to be on anybody else's time schedule. And you really do have to be on a time schedule when you're on a cruise, or if you want to go on their little excursions and things like that. You have to meet here at such and such a time, be picked up here at such and such, leave. I mean, so that's, I don't really like that. But so I was just recently on a Mediterranean cruise and loved all of the destinations, because it was Italy, France, and then Spain. So I love that. And I love the fact that we didn't have to pack, as I said, pack and unpack.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like striking out on my own, being on my own time schedule. And one of the things that we didn't like so much about that cruise is having to be back on board at 6 o'clock.
Kind of.
Because if you're not spending the night in the port, then you really do. You have to be back by like 5, which means then you have to leave by 3. It just really shortens your day. So yes. So as I said, so I have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Like some of the bigger ships, there's like so many things to do on board. So it kind of distracts you. So that's also a good thing. But
well, you know, there's a 9 month long cruise happening right now.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is wild.
You can't. Well, you can do it for a whole year.
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
Some people my age retired. They just live on cruise ships now. I mean, they sold everything. They just go from. Is that
so crazy? Yeah. And I think they just recently went to. I know this because I follow. I'm like on the TikTok 9 month cruise.
Oh, are you following along? Okay.
Along with some people that are on the cruise, but they just recently went to Antarctica.
Uh-huh.
But because the cruise ship was so big, and apparently when you travel to Antarctica, only ships with 100 people or less actually get off of the boat.
That's right.
So they did the Drake Passage and they did all of that and then had to do it back, but no one could get off the boat.
Right.
Which I was like,
oh, I know,
it stinks.
So that's the drawback with cruises, because you really are, as I said, you're bound to their timetables, or you're bound to restrictions of what Antarctica has. There are just certain things that you have to really kind of wrap your head around and be okay with.
I think it would be really. I like to eat when I go to a place. You know, I want to experience all the local cuisine and stuff, and so having to. Say leave Rome at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to make it back to the boat means I'm missing out on dinner in Rome. And that's not something I'm willing to do. So I don't think a cruise is my favorite or what would be my favorite way to travel. Mm-hmm. And I think the only reason why I would say do like have like the one portion of an Alaska cruise is just because I do think you'd be doing that more for the viewpoint of the land from the sea and seeing glaciers and things like that. You're not really like the destinations along that route are not places you really need to spend very much time in. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I would almost consider an Alaskan cruise or even taking a cruise, quote unquote, to like Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost more of like a, I wouldn't even consider that a cruise. I mean, that's just, how else are you going to get to Antarctica? You know what I mean? Or like you said, with Alaska, it's like you get to see certain things on the boat that you wouldn't necessarily get to see if you were on land.
Right. Yeah. It's just a different experience.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy the getting there rather than the being there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More, I think in a cruise like that, it's more of like a, what do you call it? Like, not really a nature cruise. I don't even know if they have a name for it. But it's something, you know what I mean? It's something that is more about, you know, enjoying the
like a scenic
cruising.
Right. And I do like that because they do break cruises down like that. Mm-hmm. So if it's adventure that you want, or if it's, is that what it is? It's an adventure cruise. Okay.
Adventure cruise. Uh-huh. Or something, you know, because then the things that you get to do are like get in a smaller boat and go to a glacier or go whale watching, you know, something like that.
Right.
So it's not really, you know, staying in Ketchikan for the evening meal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. Well, how do you feel about, because I feel like you did spend quite a bit of your married life traveling the world. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about traveling now? Do you actually prefer just to be kind of in one place, or do you still enjoy it? Or
I love traveling. I think it's just in my DNA. And there was a time when Mac and I came back from living overseas and having traveled, like, it felt like nonstop for decades. It was kind of nice not to go anywhere for a while. It really was nice just to stay put. And we came back in our houses in Rochester, Minnesota. So I think the longest trip we went on was like to Minneapolis, you know, for like a year. That felt kind of nice, actually. It really did. Not having to, you know, pack my bag for an extended trip, or thinking about
dealing with the airport.
Yeah, going from Rochester to Minneapolis, getting on the plane, you know, yada yada yada, and so and then weighing the luggage. I mean, and especially, you know, traveling when the boys were little, and going overseas and making sure that everybody's bags were packed, and we had to, you know, and you have the weight
limit
to contend with. And yes, I mean, just all those things, because there is some stress that comes along with traveling. And I think it's become more stressful through the years. It's not like when I was a young girl, that was, you know, the glamour days, and people will say, oh, they miss the glamour days of traveling. And it's like, well, those days are not coming back. Like, people will say, oh, I wish we still dressed up for traveling. But if you think about the logistics, and you think about planes and how much space we used to have, you could wear heels and hose back then, because you had, you were not cramped up. You didn't have to like climb over. I mean, when I have a window seat, I mean, I want to be wearing pants because I know I'm have to, you know, climb over
to go to the restaurant.
I know, right? Okay. Not one, but two people, you know, so things have definitely changed, and it's a little bit more stressful. But if you set yourself up for success, travel is definitely doable, even as a single person. I still travel with family, but it truly is in my DNA. And I think I'll always be looking for that next destination. I really will. Or thinking about going back to Paris or a place that's familiar, but that I still love to travel to. So yeah, it's definitely my DNA.
I do love traveling. I mean, I do love sleeping in my own bed, though. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing about traveling that I do not like is packing.
Yeah.
I will wait until the very last minute to pack, except I've actually found that I'm better at packing. So this past year, my mom called me up. I think it was at 9 p.m. And she said, pack your bags and get your passport. I'm picking you up at 6 a.m. tomorrow, and we're going to Aruba. Thankfully, I had an updated passport, but it was because my now stepdad ended up getting shingles in his eye.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he planned, it was supposed to be their honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
He planned the whole trip, and like 2 weeks prior, he got shingles in his eye. They thought maybe it was going to get better. Well, my mom basically was like, okay, well, I'm going to let you know. And when I tell you I had to pack my entire bag for a week in basically an hour, I think I was better at doing that than I am when I know that
when you have a longer period of time. Well, that's a good skill to have, is to be able to pack on a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And because packing, there again, I mean, it can be very, very stressful to some people. I think beach vacations are the easiest.
It's so easy, though.
Right?
It's like your shoes don't, I mean, you have like two pairs of sandals.
That's right.
Call it a day.
you find some fun sundresses. You have your swimsuit. You have a cover up.
You have
your sandals. Yeah, you're good to go. Hat, sunscreen, you're good to go. But then there are other trips like going to Europe and you have this. Okay, we're going to go to the Louvre today, or we're going to go to, I'm just thinking of our trip to Paris, or we're going to a cooking class, or even thinking back to our river cruise last year on the Mississippi, where from New Orleans to Memphis, there was quite a climate change and temperature change in between the two. Well, that really was.
Well, when we went to Paris, it was November? And it was the first week in November. So it was really cold there, actually. Having to pack for cold temperatures is just hard anyway. And then when you've
got jacket coordination,
and then when you have 10 days of like, well, we're probably going to be walking, miles and miles every day. I mean, it's just really all about packing for comfort at that point, I think.
It is. So, well, one of the things, because people write in all the time, and I actually have some packing videos over on YouTube, but that's a big concern. It's like, okay, I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks, and I'm going, from this destination to the next destination, different temperature considerations to make, how do you pack? So I try to just, there are a few things that I always like to share with people is dress with a color code in mind, because that will make your life so much easier. So I typically pick black and white. So then you can mix and match. So you don't have to like be stuffing your suitcase with items that you're not going to be wearing.
This is what I'm terrible at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people find that they are also terrible at this.
Mm-hmm.
I find when I pack,
it'll
be the most random article of clothing
that
I have not worn in the past 5 years.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to pack this today. I'm not very good. And I'm trying to get better at this. This is something that I'm trying to get better at this as I go forward. but just having like the capsule, like wardrobe, yes. the staple pieces. Yes.
Yeah.
Because yes. I'm just, and then I get on vacation. I'm like, why did I pack this? Uh-huh. Like, I literally have not worn this in 5 years.
Yeah. I think I understand that phenomenon though. And I think there is an idea that we have, and I don't know if men have this idea too, but that if you're going on vacation, you have an opportunity to be someone a little bit different than who you normally yeah. are in day-to-day life, mm-hmm. right? And so if there's an article of clothing that you've held on to because you're like, someday I'm going to wear this, mm-hmm. of course vacation is like, that is the time to do it, right?
That's right.
I think that that's a very real thing. And I think I definitely have done that before.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I have gotten a lot smarter about planning my packing and just mm-hmm. kind of sticking to a neutral color palette or something mm-hmm. like that. That
yeah,
mm-hmm. it's very easy to mix and match. Mm-hmm. And because also you never know when you get someplace, your mood might change and you might not want to wear yeah. that outfit that you thought was going to be perfect. So maybe you want to wear that top with some mm-hmm. other pants
yeah.
mm-hmm. or something. So mm-hmm. I don't know, giving yourself the freedom to mix it up a bit, I think is the best gift
yeah.
you can give
yes.
your packing.
Yes. Yes. But also be strategic. So a color combo is very strategic. And then I also like to, so I'll create a list of all the things that I'll be doing. So like I said, I mean, a beach vacation's super easy because it's beach, yeah. dinner, beach, cocktails, beach. I mean, so that's super yeah. easy. But when you're going to another destination where you have museums involved or this dinner involved, or I need to be walking. So I really come along and I'll create a list of all the activities that I'm doing. And then I'll create outfits for those activities.
Yeah.
And then I know exactly what I'm going to be wearing in each given day. Yeah. But when I do have some separates, then like you said, if I'm not in the mood to wear one thing one day, then I can, mm-hmm, and I can mix it up. Mm-hmm. But having that list really helps. And then also I'll take that list with me because then I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've been on vacations where I've forgotten some things when I'm,
yeah.
and then I have to call the hotel. Oh, by the way, did you?
It's always like your underwear too.
Or
your expensive hair.
Your undergarment.
Or your hair dryer, right? I know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But anyway, so that list really helps me get there, but it also helps me get back knowing that I have everything, yeah. everything that I packed in my suitcase, mm-hmm. I have coming home with me,
yeah.
which is really nice to have.
That is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the idea of making the list of your activities because there's nothing worse than getting to a destination and realizing that the shoes you brought are not appropriate for the thing.
Oh, totally.
Exactly. Because I think that's the most important thing on vacation yeah. are your shoes.
Yeah.
Yes, because you don't want to be, A, you don't want to be breaking in a new pair of shoes, mm-hmm. or B, you don't want to have the high heels and then you're walking along the cobblestones in Italy. I mean, it's just not, that's not, yeah,
yeah.
it's not the best, not the best yeah. fit. But we've all been there. We've all made packing mistakes or travel mistakes but it's always good to learn and then so you don't repeat it. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I think COVID, I didn't wear shoes for most of COVID, I mm-hmm. think, because I was just at home, right? And if I did wear shoes, they were like my Birkenstocks mm-hmm. to the mailbox and back.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the first trip that we took was to Charleston, so it, you know, it was just a short drive away. So mm-hmm. packing wasn't really that big of a deal, but I wanted to bring shoes to walk around mm-hmm. and sightsee mm-hmm. that I thought, you know, would be comfortable. And so I brought a pair of sneakers that I've never had a problem with ever, like never giving me blisters or anything. Mm-hmm. But what I hadn't accounted for was the fact that I hadn't been wearing closed back shoes for
right.
like 2.5-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking around Charleston and I had the worst blisters on the backs of my heels because of that. But it just mm-hmm. kind of goes to show, like,
yeah,
you can sometimes think that you're prepared.
Uh-huh.
Always bring Band-Aids.
That's right. That's right. Always have that little medical kit with you. Yes, and Band-Aids. Antiseptics, you know, things like yeah. that are so very, very important. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, so do you think when it comes to travel and you're traveling with family or traveling with friends, mm-hmm. I mean, how do you navigate that?
Well, traveling really is, Mac always used to say, if you can travel with someone, mm-hmm. you can do anything with them yeah. because really traveling, because it can be very, very stressful. So it brings out different emotions in everybody. So finding those friends that you can travel with, you know, your family, that's also very, very important. But travel, it really is a very telling sign with your friendship. So it could make it or even
break it.
Or break it. It really has. I mean, that does happen. Traveling with family is, you know, just a little bit different because, I mean, you know how you work as you're a unit. Then. Yeah. So you may not have the best vacation because of, you know, X, Y, and Z, but yes, you're still stuck with each other. So that's not going to necessarily break you.
Well,
but you could have a really shitty time. You know,
I'm never
gonna travel. Yeah,
with me again.
I will say, so last year, because obviously newly married, so I went on my bachelorette trip last year, and we went to Mexico, and you know, I broke my foot 3 weeks prior to going to Mexico.
Yeah,
which was lovely, because I was in a boot, and on top of that, my orthopedic basically told me you cannot put any weight on your boot at all. So I couldn't put any weight on my boot. So I had crutches, and my mom thankfully was going with us to this bachelorette trip. So she rented a wheelchair and they wheeled me around everywhere. But I was like, oh my gosh. And bless all of them. They were like, we're going to have a good time no matter what.
That's good.
I was just in the wheelchair. But I do remember we pulled into the resort, and the woman that was, you know, they do their whole spiel and they're like, oh, we have all of these other tours that you can go on. And she's going through the list. And my good friend, Jen, she probably not politely, she put her hand up and she goes, I'm going to stop you right there. She goes, do you see her?
We're not going on.
Like, we're not doing any tours. We will be wheeling her to the pool.
That's right. That's right. And be happy to do that.
Oh, but yeah, no, they were great to travel with. So it's always good when you have a good group of friends to make the trek.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I have a question. So we talked about our favorite travel destinations, but so do you prefer a warm weather destination or a cold weather destination? Or does it make any difference?
I like warm.
Do you like warm?
Yeah.
I think I would prefer warm, but like I said, Iceland was great and that was in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did enjoy that as well, but if I had a preference or had to choose, I would probably say warm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like being cold.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, especially the older I get.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the Midwest. I thought I was hardy folk, and I guess I was, but boy, if I turned into just a little,
you know what, you can lose it.
Snowflake. Yeah. I really have.
I don't know how you guys
I don't either.
Lived in Minnesota. There's
I don't
no way.
Either. I don't either.
I would have I wouldn't have left my house.
I look back on those days. Well, some days you kind of don't because you really can't when the snow is coming down or the wind chill factor is 30 below or, you know, whatever it is. So, yes.
So I think when you live in a place like that, you realize like life must go on.
Mm-hmm.
We must live lives.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's true.
Yep.
So you get over it quickly, I think.
Yeah.
But as soon as you move away from there and you don't deal with those things anymore, the idea of dealing with that again is challenging, I think. Which I think is partly why like I prefer warm weather destinations, but also that it comes back to the packing. You know, like I loved going to Paris, but man, and I packed appropriately, but it was so cold when we were there. And we were outside all day.
And it rained. We had one, I guess it was just one rainy day, but we contended with that and walk through it.
We had a photo shoot.
But
yeah, you know, you go when you go or whatever, but if I have my druthers, I'm planning something in the spring or end of summer, you know, when it's not
or even
painfully hot.
Yeah, fall.
Fall.
Yeah.
Early fall. Yeah, I think, I haven't had very many opportunities to travel with family, actually. I think the trip that we all took to Europe in, what was it, 2018? That was like really the
Mac
only
time I've
been on a family vacation, really. Like my mom.
That was before you came into the picture.
Yeah.
My mom would take us to Disneyland when we were kids. But other than that, like we didn't really ever do family vacations. So, but that was a really fun, like that was my first kind of family vacation.
We had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Yes, it really, really was. And that's, I mean, there again, just going back to living overseas and traveling with the family, that was like, I mean, it was just another day in our lives. I mean, we were always like, oh, okay, well, let's go to Phnom Penh this weekend, or let's go to Hanan Island, or let's go to Japan or let's go to Australia. I mean, it was just, that was just part of our life. And it was, and I don't really remember little, you know, side trips, side vacations like that being stressful at all. I mean, it was just kind of like, yeah, even let's
with,
just go.
Even with
the
boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, okay, let's go to the Gold Coast. I mean, I do have a funny story. So this involves Andrew and Christian. So they brought their, because they were all big golfers and Mac loved to golf too. Was never a great golfer, but boy did that man love golf. And so anyway, so they all packed their, I don't think AJ was, he was with us, but he didn't pack his clubs for whatever reason. But anyway, so the two boys, Andrew and Christian, had their golf clubs. And I remember that Mac had told them, clean your clubs before we get on the plane. Because that's very important. But anyway, guess who did not clean their clubs before they got on the plane? And so then anyway, they got detained. That was kind of a big moment. Oh. Mm-hmm. So that was life, actually.
They got detained.
Uh-huh, because they actually, so they pulled them aside. So when we entered into Australia, they check all of your cargo and especially golf clubs, because that's like a bigger item.
Why is
so?
That? Because I think it has to do
disease.
Disease that you're bringing.
Mm-hmm. They're like, okay. They're like, so. And Mac was, you could see, he was trying to be very calm, very, very calm, but you could just see he was just like looking at the boys, like, I can't even believe. I know. But they're good. If you don't want to listen, life is going to, you know, step in. Yeah. That was actually, it was kind of a big, you should ask Andrew about that trip. But yes, so they had to, so they resolved that, cleaned their clubs. We got through customs and then they had a really great time golfing. And I think they even saw a crocodile or something, or I know they had all these signs on the golf course, you know, crocodile crossing or this, or, you know, or be careful.
Yeah.
So, but they did have a good time, but that was pretty fun. Yeah.
To learn a lesson.
They did. Mm-hmm. Clean your clubs.
That they should listen to their father.
I know, right?
I feel like, especially them traveling so much and as much as you guys traveled, that probably helped with, you know, making it an easier situation each time that you guys would go to a new place with the packing and getting everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like the more that you travel, maybe with your kids or children, the easier it gets.
Mm-hmm.
If you only take one trip a year and
then right. Yeah.
We got to gather all of these belongings. And if they're used to it, this doesn't have to do with traveling, but it kind of does. One of my friends, she's got three boys.
Mm-hmm.
They travel a lot,
mm-hmm.
but in her house, her kids, and I think they're all under the age of like four.
Oh my goodness,
like four or five. They're it's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
and they all sleep wherever. She posted about it on Instagram, and like one day it's like they're sleeping in the guest room, one sleeping on the couch, and she literally says this all the time. She goes, if the one tip that I have for any new parents is let your children sleep wherever they want to sleep, because when you travel, they will fall asleep anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I'm like, I guess that makes sense. I don't like, they have no issues when it comes to traveling. I'm like, they'll just fall asleep in a cot.
Well, there you go. And that's a good skill to learn. It really, really is. Yes. And travel is, and I'll end our podcast with this, but one of my favorite quotes is from Mark Twain, because he said, and it still holds up, it will always hold up, that travel is prejudice to, oh gosh, no, I'm going to get it wrong. Fatal. Travel is fatal to prejudice. Thank you. Hello. Hello. So Mark Twain, I'm going to say that again. So the Mark Twain quote is, travel is fatal to prejudice, and that's one of the things that I loved and why we really did want to live overseas and travel with the boys as a family, is because the more you're exposed to cultures outside of your own, it really is very, very difficult to hold something against them, because you do realize that you are exactly the same no matter where you are in the world. You may eat different food, you may wear different clothes, but your hearts are really the same. And that's a beautiful thing that travel can teach you and share with you. So, but any other questions, ladies, before
I think that that's
it. Okay. Before we wrap that up with that quote that I finally got right. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Wrapping up another episode of Message from Mom, where we are busting the myth that mothers-in-law are not necessarily monsters-in-law. See you next time.